2 Timothy chapter number 3. And as we look at these verses, we'll be looking at some truths regarding the tactics of apostates. And we looked at the first part of this message earlier on in this series. And this evening we'll continue on this theme. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Look with me as I read these verses out loud. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 1. God warns us in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days," that's today, "perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Verse 3, "without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Verse 4, "traitors, heavy-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Verse 5, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you have in your word all that we need to help us to live a godly Christian life. And Lord, we thank you for your help in the area of being warned of wolves and deceivers, Lord, and those who call themselves Christians, Lord, but are far from it. And Lord, we do pray that you would strengthen our church through your truth. Lord, help us to trust in you as we've just sung. Help us not to trust in the feelings of our own flesh and our own desires. Lord, help us to look to your word this evening to transform our will to make it thine own. And Lord, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this Sunday night series, we're looking at the apostasy of the last days. Remember, the word apostasy means a falling away, a departure from that which is the truth, the Word of God. And that's what we see taking place around us. And in fact, the more you look into it, the scarier it is. The scarier it is that we know so little about how many people that call themselves Christians and yet teach a completely different thing than what the Bible says. And that is a scary thing. That is a scary truth. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. And as God's people, we need to know what's taking place around us, because it is everywhere. And it will come into our church. Apostates, those who have departed from the truth and yet still call themselves Christians, as I mentioned last time, they are not just happy to stay as they are and accept us as we are. No, they are evangelistic. They are out there to convince you and I to follow their way. They're out there to convince you and I to follow their perverted version of the truth. They are looking for converts to their way of thinking. That's why we need to be warned. And we need to be prepared when we encounter apostasy on all sides. And there are a number of tactics that they use to con and convince and fool you and I into turning away from the truth. One of them that we looked at last time, the tactic of softening sound doctrine. The Bible says that in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves, and they will not, in chapter 4, verse 3, they will not be able to endure sound doctrine. They will not accept what the Bible clearly and plainly says. They'll just refuse to and object to it and oppose you and argue against you when it's here, right in our hands, plainly for all to read. They will reject sound doctrine and soften it and change words, change the context, use different Bible versions and soften sound doctrine in order to bring people into their way. Now, another tactic that we're going to briefly look at before the Lord's table this evening is the tactic of rationalizing selfish desires. Rationalizing selfish desires. The Bible says that they shall be, in verse number 4, lovers of what? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Note that in verse 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, There will be people that will call themselves Christians and they'll be teachers and preachers, but yet they will be lovers of pleasure, their own sinful lusts, more than lovers of God. But be careful, verse number 5, they have a form of godliness. They may even look like a Christian. They may even sound like a Christian, but they deny the truth of the Word of God. They deny the power of godly living. They deny the power of the Holy Spirit and Spirit-filled living. They deny God's Word. Why? So they can live as they please. And that's really the heart of the emerging church. People promoting their false doctrine so they can simply live as they please. Selfish and seeking to live out the lusts of their sinful flesh. And rationalizing selfish desires is one way apostates seek to pull people into their way. Now, here's one of the ways they rationalize their selfish desires. They say this: when they don't agree with what the Word of God says, they will simply use this blanket statement that they think is a trump card for everything they do. Have you heard it before? I'm doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, a lot of people say that, and some of us are fooled into thinking, well, how can I argue against that? They say they're doing this in the name of Jesus. Well, who am I to say that that's wrong? But church family, we need to understand, just because someone says they're doing something in His name doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus Christ approves of it. It does not mean that that is true. Now, the New York City Hillsong is pastored by a man named Carl Lentz. And the news reporter said, and this is the unsaved news reporter, said that he's covered in so many tattoos, it would make a New York City hip-hop artist blush. That's how full he's covered. By the way, you know, if you have tattoos before you get saved, you know, well, that's just how we live our Christian lives out. You know, you live with it. But he's promoting worldly living. He's promoting ungodliness. He's proud of himself and his worldly lifestyle and his worldly looks. You know, he wears a black leather jacket and black clothing, and he has a punk haircut. And in that same news report, he was weeping, he was crying to the news reporter, saying that I just want to be like the Lord Jesus. And he was sincere. And he was saying, look, my motive in all this is not to attract people's attention to me. But that's what he's doing. He's saying, I just want to do this to glorify the Lord. I'm doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people are fooled into thinking, well, this must be okay, because he's doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's what apostates say. Hey, I'm running this ministry this way because the Lord Jesus told me so, because I'm doing this for his honor. But in fact, this statement is oftentimes just a cover-up for their selfishness. The cover-up for their own selfish ways. And acting in the name of Jesus Christ alone is no justification for doing anything. Now, come with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 19. We see an interesting example of unsaved people acting in the name of the Lord Jesus. And let's see where it ended up. Acts, chapter number 19, verses 13 to 16. Acts chapter 19, verses 13 to 16. Apostates rationalize their selfish desires just by simply saying, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus, so it must be right. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. The Bible says here, then certain of the vagabond, that is the wandering Jews, that were exorcists, they thought, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. So these were wandering, unsaved Jewish exorcists wandering around, gathering to themselves people that were possessed of the devil, and they were trying to cast out the devil from them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how far did they get? How did they go? What does the Bible say in verse 14? And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man, that is, who was possessed with the demon, this evil spirit, in whom the evil spirit was, leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You see, these unsaved people were trying to do something in the name of the Lord Jesus. But that didn't mean it was right. And whenever apostates say, hey, I'm just doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that does not mean that it's right. In fact, that's not even an indication that they're saved, by the way. Because these unsaved Jews were seeking to do the work of God in the name of God, but even the evil spirit knew that these people aren't saved. They're not ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The evil spirit knew who the Apostle Paul was. He knew who other Christians were, but these were not. And the evil spirit oftentimes, and the spirits of this world, are more discerning than the average Christian. You know, just because you go into a Christian bookstore, church family, doesn't mean what's on the shelf is good for you to read and digest. They say that they're Christians, they may look like Christians, but really they're just rationalizing their selfish desires by saying, hey, this is for the Lord's glory. This book or this video or this rally or this meeting or this message, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. That is not a trump card for God's blessing upon that action or that ministry. We need to understand that. You know, anyone can say that they are doing something in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 31. Let's read verse 31 together out loud. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 31. Let's read this verse on two. 1, 2. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Not in the name of God, but to the glory of God. How do we know what honors and glorifies the Lord? He has told us what He's pleased with and what honors Him in His holy word. We don't need to wonder what pleases the Lord. When the Lord walked among His churches, He wrote 7 letters to 7 churches. We don't need to wonder what pleases God. He told them what pleases Him. I know thy works. I know thy labor. He's pleased with separation. He's pleased with service. He's pleased with soul winning. But He also tells us what He's not pleased with. And we need to do all to the glory of God. Not in the name of God, but to the glory of God. We need to do all for the Lord according to that which honors and pleases and magnifies His name and glorifies Him. That's what we're to do. And yet apostates will simply say and use this blanket statement, doing this in the name of Jesus. Don't be fooled, church family. That is not a statement of truth. It is oftentimes a facade for covering up selfishness. And by the way, that's also a type of using the Lord's name in vain. To act opposite to the Lord's words and say, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. That is taking the name of Jesus in vain. That is blasphemy against our Lord. And at the end of the day, they're not serving the Jesus of the Bible, the one true Savior. They are serving their own made-up Jesus, another Jesus, as the Bible says. So beware of this tactic to promote selfish desires in the name of Jesus. Now also, there's another way they rationalize their selfish desires, which is the teaching that man's pleasure equals the highest good. Man's pleasure equals the highest good. Apostates today are promoting this false teaching that God's goal in our life is for us to experience the greatest pleasure in this life. And that is another tactic to rationalize selfish desires, that our pleasure in this life is the goal as Christians. Our pleasure is the goal. Our happiness is the goal. Our confidence is the goal. Our comfort is the goal. Joel Osteen came out with a new book that simply says, I am, I will. What is it about? It's all about you. It's a self-help theology, a self-help Christianity, and Christians are eating it up by the millions. Absolutely. Why? Because self-help sells. It sells in the unsaved world, and if you want to attach God to it and make it a Christian thing, it'll sell among many Christians as well. Why? Because they've been conned into thinking that God's goal in our lives is for you and I to to be pleased and experience the greatest pleasure. Now, Joel Osteen has a wife named Victoria. And at the Lakewood mega church that they are at, she made this statement to the congregation that pretty much encapsulates this false teaching. Let me read you the statement she made. She said, "I just want to encourage every one of us to realize when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. I mean, that's one way to look at it. We are doing it for ourselves because God takes pleasure when we are happy. That's the thing that gives Him the greatest joy this morning. So I want you to know this morning, just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy. When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not really doing it for God. You're doing it for yourself because that's what makes God happy." Amen. That's what she said. Notice how she twists the Word of God around. She's basically saying that the goal in life is for us to be happy. So anything that we pursue that makes us happy is what makes God happy. My friends, that is very, very far from the truth. And yet it's put in such a way that many people listen to it and they think to themselves, well, that's what's missing from my life. No wonder I'm down. No wonder I'm discouraged. It's because I don't understand how God thinks. And really, we need to please ourselves more, and that's going to please God more. And they use this false teaching to do what? Simply to rationalize their own selfish desires. Look, if that's what you believe in a church like that, you can just live as you please. Whatever you feel like doing that pleases you, ultimately pleases God. But that's not what the Bible says. That is far from what the Bible teaches. And this rationalism leads to the thought that man's pleasure equals the highest good. But what does the Bible tell us in 2 Timothy? In the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves. That is what is taking place. People are departing from the truth to apostasy. Why? Because they are just in love with themselves and in love with their own selfish, sinful desires. And yes, church family, that's what's taking place. This is a self-help Christianity. One pastor branded her remarks as saying that this is the age-old sin of idolatry. It's not about God, it's about us. And that's what idolatry is. Worshipping something or someone other than God. And we become our own God. We worship ourselves when we put ourselves up on a pedestal and seek our own good. The Bible tells us that our pleasure is not the goal of our Christian life. Amen? That is not the goal. Let's have a look at 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4. What does the Bible say? Amen? We always need to come back to the words of our wonderful God. What does the Bible say pleases God? Is it our pleasure? 3 John chapter 1. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4. Look with me there. The Bible says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the what? In the truth." And that is God's delight. When we walk according to the truth, guess what, church family? God is overjoyed. He is delighted in His children walking according to the truth. And that's encouraging, isn't it? When we obey the Word of God, it delights God. Now, let me say this. God's love for us never changes. Amen? Once we are saved, we're always saved. But we may not be living in a way that pleases God. We may not be living in a way that God delights in us. He always loves us, just like you love your children unconditionally, parents. They may do things to hurt you. You still love them, but yet they are not pleasing you in that disobedience. But when we live according to the Word of God, not only does He love us, but we experience the joy of pleasing the Lord. How do we please the Lord? Is it to seek our own pleasure? Is it to seek our own good? No. God's good. Walking according to the truth. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then we will experience the joy of the Christian life when all these things shall be added unto you. And He blesses us by seeking His pleasure first. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's not about us. We are wretched, condemned, wicked sinners. We are undone and not worthy of anything, but Christ loved us to save us by His precious blood, and now we are to live for the glory of God. Now we are to live for that which pleases Him. And let me untwist what Victoria Osteen was saying. When we please God, and we experience the wonderful joy of pleasing the Lord, walking according to the truth, we enjoy the pleasure of the Christian life. Amen? That's how it works. She's got it the other way around. My friends, that is demonic. That is of the devil. That is false doctrine. And many people are buying these Christian self-help books thinking that that's the answer. My friend, the Word of God is the answer. This is the self-help book. Amen? Absolutely. When we obey the Word of God in the simple things, the Lord will change our lives. Walk according to the truth. Let me just close with some truths about selfish desires. What are some truths about selfish desires? You see, we all have a sinful flesh, amen? None of us here can say, well, I don't battle with the sinful flesh. No, we all do. Once we're saved, we still have a sinful nature that we fight against, and we also have selfish desires. That's where the movement of apostasy stands right now. People are rationalizing their abandonment of the truth in order just to please themselves and live according to their own selfish desires. But we can do the same, can't we? We can be the same. We can fall into the same error. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. What are some concluding truths about selfish desires? What does the Bible say? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, once we are saved, God's plan for our lives is transformation. He desires to transform us from the inside out. He desires for us to abandon this old way of selfishness that we lived before we were saved, and He desires for us to desire His desires. That's what happens when we allow God to transform our thoughts by the Word of God. Our desires become His desires. Our thoughts become, His desires become our desires. Oh, I almost got in trouble there. Let me correct that. As we spend time in the Word of God, God's desires become our desires. God's thoughts become our thoughts. And we begin to understand what the will of God is. We begin to understand what holy living is. But our will and desire is to be in submission to God's will. That's the order. God's will and our will in submission to His will. That's how it works. Not the other way around. That's what apostates are teaching. It's the other way around. That God's will is in submission to my will. Whatever I want, whatever I please is to do is okay with God because I'm under the blood. That's not true at all. Once we are Christians, we are to give our lives as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. That's how we are to live. We can only do so through the Word of God as He transforms our desires. We need our desires changed, don't we? You know, we all have selfish desires that prevent us from being all that we can be for the Lord. And God wants us to be transformed through His Word. Now, what about 1 John chapter 5? Let's look there. And this is an exciting truth, the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Notice the word desire in verse 15. What should be our desire? Our desire should be the will of God. Now, if we know the will of God, this is an exciting truth. Christians, let's look up here this evening. If we know the will of God, because we're in His Word, and we pray for what God wants, we know that He will hear that desire and that prayer and will bring it to pass. If we pray according to the will of God, and we pray according to His revealed will, we know that God hears us and He will answer that prayer according to His will. That is a wonderful promise from the Word of God. For example, if you pray to the Lord this morning and you said, Lord, help me to be a better witness this year. Lord, help me to be more bold in my witness. Lord, help me to have more courage. Help me to learn some verses so that I can be a better witness. Let me guarantee you, God is going to answer that prayer. Why? Because it is according to His will. The Lord said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. We know that's what He wants us to do. So we don't need to wonder. But the reality is we need to understand that His desires must be first in order for any of our prayers to be heard, in order for any of our prayers to be answered. Many times we pray amiss. Why? Because we want to consume it upon our lusts, our selfish, sinful desires. Isn't that the truth? We pray for what we want so often, and we're not even considering what God wants. And we have that wonderful promise that God is pleased to grant the desires that are according to His will. We need to know His will. We need to understand what His will is and be willing to be conformed to His will. Now, selfish desires blind us to God's commands. You might say, Pastor, how is it that Victoria Osteen could make such a statement to thousands that are there in that building that think that they call themselves Christians? And how come she could make such an outlandish statement? Why? Because the reality is selfish desires blind us to the will of God. Our sinful flesh blinds us to God's will. It stops us from seeing the reality of His truth. And we can just consider Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. The Bible says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You see, Eve took of the fruit, and what blinded her from that sin? Her own selfish desires. She saw that it was good to eat, desired to make one wise. And the lust of the flesh took hold and blinded her from the tragic sin that took place. Adam's sin. Selfish desires blind us to God's command. And many today that are apostates are simply blind leaders of the blind. That's what they are. They are blind themselves. They are deceived, and they are deceiving others. Blind leaders of the blind. You see, when we put ourselves first, we will deceive ourselves, and God will allow us to continue in that deception. That's the judgment upon the Christian who just lives a selfish life. He will allow us to continue that in that deception and reap what we sow. We all have blind areas of our lives, don't we? Because of our selfishness. I think back in my Christian life, and I remember times when I wanted to do something, I wanted to go somewhere, I wanted to have something, and I remember when it didn't go my way, and I remember times that my pastor rebuked me from the Word lovingly, and he said, "Look, James, this is what the Bible says," and I'm thinking to myself, "Man, you know, he can't say that." And I was thinking, you know, I didn't say that openly out loud, but that's how I felt, amen. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, what am I going to do? And I thank God for a wife, amen. Because so often our wives don't see that selfish desire the same way we do. And I'm thankful for my wife who sees things differently and says, well, you know, he's actually right. That's what the Bible says. Now, why couldn't I see that? Because I was consumed with my own selfish desire. I wanted that thing. I wanted to go to that place. I didn't want to do what the Word of God said, and I was blind to it, at least momentarily. Amen? And that's what happens in our life, doesn't it? We're all made of the same stuff. When our selfish desires take hold, we are blinded to God's commands. That's why we need to present ourselves each day as a living sacrifice. Lord, here am I. Lord, do Your will and good pleasure in my life. Lord, I'm submitted, amen, to the truth of Your Word. Lord, I want to please You today. Help me to walk according to the truth. But beware, Christians. I believe one step into apostasy is this: putting our selfish desires before God's desires. That's how it happens. And apostates everywhere are rationalizing what they're doing rationalizing their selfish desires by saying, well, I'm doing it in the name of Christ, and I'm doing it because God desires our pleasure. No, that's not true at all. He desires that we walk according to the truth. Our desire should be to please the Lord, amen. That is the natural response of a born-again Christian, to love the one that loved us first. That should be our desire, to love him. The Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Walk according to the truth. And my friend, that will keep you safe from the tidal wave of apostasy that is consuming churches today.